Beloved of the Lord, in the midst of our daily toils and snares, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ teaches us a parable that pierces hearts, uncovers hidden pride, and lays bare the path of true humility. Picture the scene at the temple. The Pharisee and the tax collector, two men so different in stature and reputation, yet standing before the same God of the in the temple of the Most High, each offering a prayer, giving us a glimpse into their souls. The Pharisee stands tall, perhaps in the most visible spot, his prayer filled with thanksgiving. But is it genuine gratitude, or is it a concealed boast? The tax collector, meanwhile, stands afar off, eyes downcast, beating his breast, aware of his unworthiness. Two men, two prayers, two very different hearts. Jesus prefaces this parable by addressing those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Does not the echo of these words reach into our very midst? Have we not at times trusted in our own righteousness? Have we not looked down upon others, even if only in the hidden chambers of our hearts? How subtly pride can weasel its way into our lives and cause us to slip into such a self-congratulatory prayer like that of the Pharisee. But, dear brothers and sisters, thanks be to God who humbles those who exalt themselves and exalts the one who is humble. By this parable, our Lord instills in us a recognition of our place before the holy God, a recognition that leads to a humility that is not only commendable, but also necessary for every child of God. Our Lord directs our attention first to the Pharisee, a religious leader, devoted to the law. He stands before God and offers a prayer of thanksgiving. But what is the essence of this thanksgiving, and what can we learn from it? The Pharisee begins his prayer with the words that resonate with gratitude. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Is it not good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places thank God for his guiding hand, for leading us away from wickedness, and for helping us walk in righteousness? God kept the Pharisee from falling into open wickedness and vice, and he does the same for us. Is it wrong then to thank God for it, like the Pharisee does here? Indeed, it's not wrong at all. In the same way, we thank God for our good works and pious deeds. Thank you, God, for allowing me to share the gospel with Frank. Or thank you, God, for the opportunity to help Miss Johnson load her groceries into her car. Giving thanks to God for our good works and piety, like the Pharisee does here, is not entirely misplaced. For in it, we recognize God's gracious work in our lives. So the Pharisee's prayer isn't so easily dismissed. What's wrong with it then? Well, the tragedy lies in what the Pharisee's prayer reveals about his heart. His seemingly good prayer on the surface quickly turns into a showcase of his own righteousness, a self-affirmation of his moral superiority over others, like the tax collector. His prayer displays a sense of pride, a reliance on his own deeds, a self-exaltation that overshadows the grace of God. This, then, is the real issue. And it is a cautionary tale for all of us. How easily we can fall into a trap of self-righteousness. How subtly we can shift our focus from God's grace to our own goodness. How readily we can forget that all our righteous deeds are but filthy rags before the holiness of God. Surprisingly, then, our Lord does not condemn the Pharisee's good works, nor does he dismiss his adherence to the law. Rather, he exposes the heart that is turned inward, that has elevated itself above other men and above God himself, a heart that has forgotten the true source of all goodness and righteousness. So what's the lesson for us, dear brothers and sisters? How are we to approach God with thanksgiving without falling into the pit of pride? First, we must remember that all good things come from the Father of lights. Every virtue, every act of kindness, every moment of piety is a gift from above. We are but vessels of God's grace, recipients of His love, channels of His mercy. Second, we must recognize our utter dependence on God's grace. We are sinners, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No amount of good works can earn us salvation. No measure of piety can merit God's favor. Lastly, we must cultivate a humble heart that acknowledges our unworthiness and exalts not ourselves, but God's righteousness. We must learn to pray not with a spirit of self-promotion, but with a spirit of humble gratitude. Let us be wary of the temptation to boast in ourselves. Let us be diligent in giving thanks to God for His grace, His mercy, His love. And let us do so with hearts that are humble, with eyes that are fixed on Christ, and with lives that are surrendered to the will of God, and consider the needs of others above our own. May our prayers be fragrant offerings before the throne of grace, not because of our righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness, credited to us through faith. Having looked now at the Pharisee, we move to the tax collector. This man, this tax collector, is a figure so often scorned in the biblical world. But in his character, we discover profound truths about repentance and propitiation. The tax collector stands afar off, weighed down by the burden of his sins. He will not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beats his breast, a symbol of contrition, crying, "God, be merciful to me." And the proper translation is the sinner, not just a sinner. But he only recognizes one sinner in his whole life, and it's me, the sinner. What an extraordinary plea this is. For the tax collector is not merely asking for mercy. He is invoking the concept of propitiation. He's calling for the blood atonement for his sin. His cry reaches deep into the heart of the gospel. The term "be merciful" in the original language has the undertones of a plea for atonement. It's not merely a request for God to overlook his sins, but a desperate cry for God to cover them, to cleanse them, to atone for them through his blood sacrifice. The imagery here is rich with Old Testament allusions. With the word propitiation or atonement, we think of the mercy seat, the lid on that Ark of the Covenant covered by the cherubim, where the blood of the sacrifices was sprinkled to make atonement for the sin of the people. This tax collector's plea is essentially a cry for Christ, the ultimate and perfect sacrifice, whose blood would be shed for the forgiveness of not just his, but all sin. What a contrast to the Pharisee. While the Pharisee boasts in his own righteousness, the tax collector confesses his utter sinfulness. While the Pharisee thanks God for his deeds, the tax collector begs God for atonement. While the Pharisee stands tall, the tax collector bows to the ground. This, dear brothers and sisters, is the posture of true repentance. This is the cry of a heart that recognizes its need for a Savior. This is the voice of faith that clings to the promises of God's Word. We need to learn from this tax collector. We need to recognize our own sinfulness, our own unworthiness, our own need for the blood of Christ to cleanse, to cover, to atone for all our unrighteousness. We are called to approach the throne of grace not with pride or self-assurance, but with humility and faith. We're called to plead for mercy, not on account of our goodness, but on account of Christ's goodness. We're called to seek that propitiation, not through our own efforts, but through the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, may our hearts echo the cry of the tax collector, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." Or in the words of Paul, "Chief of sinners though I be." And may our hearts also reflect a humble dependence on Christ, our perfect sacrifice. May our faith rest not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. With that reflection, we move on to our fourth and the concluding part of our sermon. Our Lord has brought us through this parable. It speaks to the core of our Christian faith. It calls us to examine our hearts, to recognize our dependence upon Christ, on His mercy, and to embrace the humility that marks the life of true disciples. The final verse of our text offers a profound conclusion. Jesus says, "I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." Justification is the theme that resonates deeply within our Lutheran confession. To be justified is to be declared righteous by Christ. "This man is justified," says Jesus. We are declared righteous in the sight of God, not by our works or our merit, but solely by faith in Christ and His sacrifice for us. The Pharisee, despite his righteous deeds, and they are good deeds, he was not justified. His self-righteousness, his reliance on his own efforts, and his failure to recognize his need for grace left him in a state of spiritual pride and separation from God. The tax collector, on the other hand, found justification. His humble recognition of sinfulness, his cry for mercy, his faith in the atonement of Christ brought him to a state of grace and favor with God Almighty. How then, my friends, shall we live in the light of this parable? How shall we approach our God and love our neighbor? We are always in need of grace. We're called to faith, to trust Christ. We're called to compassion, seeing others not as rivals or enemies, as the Pharisee does, but as fellow sojourners on the road to redemption. Instead of contempt, you should have had compassion on that tax collector. We as sinners, justified by Christ alone, must reject the temptation to compare ourselves to others, to judge their worth or their faith. Instead, we must look to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the one alone who justifies and saves. If we see our brother lacking, it's not an opportunity for us to show him contempt, but to have compassion and fill in that which he lacks. May we learn from the Pharisee's error and from the tax collector's wisdom. May we approach God's throne with humble hearts, recognizing our need and seeking His mercy. May we walk in the way of the cross, where pride is laid low and grace abounds. For in Christ alone we find our righteousness, our hope, our life. In Him we are justified, sanctified, and glorified. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand to sing our hymn. Christ has arisen. Alleluia. Would someone start us off? My voice is starting to go now. Christ has risen. Alleluia. Rejoice. Praise Him. Alleluia. For our Redeemer burst from the tomb, even from death, dispelling all gloom. Let us sing praise to